Welcome back. Let's welcome in our panel to discuss today's trading action. Jay Hatfield is InfraCap founder, CEO, and portfolio manager, and Colin Stewart is head of Americas at Quant Insight. But before we head to our panel, do want to get one final check of the markets before we get the closing bell on this Friday afternoon. As we can see here, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ looking like they are going to end in positive territory after a choppy session earlier. We do have the Dow Jones Industrial Average, however, still in negative territory, down nearly 200 points, or about half of a percentage point. And in taking a look at the S&P 500 sector action, energy, information technology, and communication services are outperforming. And here's the bell.
All right, we have a closing bell and we have a gavel. Let's see where the markets will settle today, because you know, we always say the last 20 to 15 minutes of the session is what you want to pay attention to. Why even trade during the day? Let's just have the last 15 minutes. The Dow's going to settle down about 200 points. But look at this. The S&P 500 in the last bit of the session actually went positive. It'll close up about 3 points. NASDAQ's going to be up 86 points, a little bit more than half a percent. Let's go back to the panel. And, you know, let me start with you, Colin, especially since your firm calculates mathematical relationships between factors in the real economy, financial conditions, and measures of risk appetite. For those of us who might have had to repeat calculus and not pass it, I'm taking a look at the S&P 500 right now. What's the risk appetite? Because it feels like there's a lot of fear out of there, even though at the last minute this went positive.
Yes, as far as we're concerned, the mathematical relationship between the macro factors has a strong relationship to volatility. In fact, volatility such as VIX and German VIX are among the top negative factors that would drive the S&P down. And in fact, we have a separate volatility indicator that indicates that VIX could be rising from here. But the balance of the what's driving the S&P from a macro perspective is that. But on the other side, Fed rate expectations and inflation expectations are driving it higher. So this our sensitivity analysis suggests that the S&P right now is fair from a macro point of view at 4772. But it likes Fed rate expectations and rising inflation, but would fall on balance because of falling volatility.
Jay, one of the things that you pointed out in your note to us is that tighter liquidity, not interest rate increases, is the key driver of the volatility we've been seeing in tech and other risky areas like crypto. Explain more of what you mean by this and what this means in terms of what headlines investors should be looking out for coming from the Fed that may stir up more volatility in these market areas.
Thanks for having me on. What we view as the key driver of the shift to momentum stocks was really this unprecedented liquidity that the Fed was injecting. And the minute it became obvious that they were going to withdraw that liquidity, which is at the end of November, that's when you saw this rotation out of tech and into value started. So the Dow has outperformed the NASDAQ by over 7.5%. And so that's the real driver is liquidity. That tends to drive momentum, and that tends to drive the risk premiums down. There's a urban myth that tech stocks have much more interest rate sensitivity than other stocks. But if you really do the analysis, and we've done that and calculate the duration, which is the way to measure interest rate sensitivity, normal tech stocks that trade on the stock exchange have similar durations to value stocks. It's only private companies that have payoffs 30, 40, 50 years that might be a little bit sensitive to that, but that's not the key driver. It's really tight Fed.
Jay, there was something that jumped out in the notes that you sent us that I wanted you to help us explain and help us understand, which is when the 10-year yield is above 2%, and you use the word significantly, so I'm curious if you can put that into context. $52 trillion of global pension assets will rebalance and reallocate into treasuries. What does that do to liquidity when that moment happens?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have a big impact on liquidity. I mean, there will be some selling of stocks, but then if we're correct, and there is a lid on interest rates, so 2% on the 10-year-ish, and that would imply a 30-year almost 3%. what happens is the pension funds, first, they need to rebalance every quarter. So if stocks have outperformed, they sell and buy bonds. But if bonds have underperformed, they're going to buy those. But what we saw in the past is that the boards of these gigantic pension funds decide, well, why are we only in 28% bonds when the 30 years at 3 and our bogey's 6? So we expect them to raise those allocations. And then the final reason we don't think rates are going to infinity is that the rest of the world, particularly in Europe, is very slow, partly because of the blown energy transition. So we see U.S. rates being very competitive globally as well.
Colin, earlier today, we had J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon saying that there's a pretty good chance that there will be more than 4 interest rate hikes this year from the Fed. There could be 6 or 7. What do you think about this? And what do you think the market has priced in for now? Because it seems like for now, perhaps not 6 or 7 are priced in, but could they be?
As far as J.P. Morgan is concerned, it's definitely very comfortable with rising interest rate environment. We see them positively sensitive to rising interest rates with about three interest rate rises over the course of this coming year. But as far as JP Morgan is concerned, the macro fair value of that company is $163 right now. So just little spot prices under that, given the balance of what the positive and negative drivers with Fed rate expectations and inflation on both sides.
Colin, one of the things you point out that can hurt the index the most would be higher volatility, but especially a widening credit spread, say in the EU or in emerging markets. Is that, how much do those spreads have to widen to be a real potential threat?
So as far as credit spreads are concerned, I would say that particularly the European credit spreads widening, that is the highest negative factor. So if they rise by 1 standard deviation, you're going to see the S&P fall by 9 basis points. If you have U.S. high yield expand by 1 standard deviation, another 8 basis points, and FinSub in Europe, a similar amount. So it's really overall across the interest rate perspective in the developed markets, it's going to be about a 24 basis point fall in the S&P with a 1 standard deviation move higher. What's more interesting perhaps is in China, if Chinese 5-year credit spreads rise by a standard deviation, then the S&P would fall by 15 basis points of all things remaining unchanged.